Okay, we are now recording.
Cool. Yeah, I think, like, just in my experiences, I like to advocate for women to be in high places and women's rights in general, just to be equal to men's, not above or anything. Just because, I mean, we see it in our everyday lives, like the gender gap that's prominent wherever you go. But I would say, like, regarding my childhood and how that kind of formed me, my mom is quite the firecracker. And she kind of, she was, well, both of my parents were played big roles in empowering me to, like, kind of be whoever I wanted to be as a woman and, like, not have that limit me in any way, shape, or form. And I grew up in Berkeley, and that's, like, a pretty liberal place. And so I would say that I was lucky in that sense to grow up in a place where people supported me doing whatever I wanted. I was pretty much a tomboy until, like, high school. And I, like, loved to play sports and be active. And I would say that formed me a lot in being, like, a strong woman and advocating for myself. Like, growing up playing sports really, like, helped me in that way to, like, build confidence and, I don't know, to have some kind of adversity in my life where I was working towards something and trying to improve and be my best self, which I obviously am continuing now. And sports and athletics are a big part of my life still.
Do you think it's, like, important, like, as a, like, a female, like, athletics coach, like, how do you think, like, encouragement for, like, women in general is, like, important in sports?
I think it's important to not only encourage women to be a part of sports, especially if that's something that they want and would like to pursue, and just kind of creating the opportunity to have women, like, be a part of sports and, I don't know, break down the stereotype that, like, women don't play sports as much, which, like, I think has been, like, it's been changed a lot in the past, I don't know, 20, 30 years. Like, I think it's much more common in today's society to have women be equally involved in sports as men. But wait, what was the question? I think it's important to see women in positions of, like, leadership and power within, like, sports in general. Like, seeing females in position, like an athletic director or a head coach. I think it's important for women to see other women in those positions and, like, seeing that as something that they can attain if that's what they want, or just kind of, like having that mentorship, I think, is really important. And I think that's, like, one of the reasons I am where I am now. I, like, very much enjoyed my college experience as an athlete. But for, like, a good part of it, there wasn't, like, a stable female, like, figure.
Like, representative.
Yeah,
like that was on the cross
country. Yeah, okay. On the cross country team. Like, it was kind of, there wasn't that much leadership, not only, like, within the team, but also just, like, we had female coaches that were in and out, kind of. I think it's hard to kind of, like, work your way there, just because there's not, like, a huge budget for coaches, maybe. And so you kind of have to, like, put your time in before you can, like, in any way, shape, or form, before you can, like, become a full-time salaried coach by the college. I'm not criticizing them, but you just have to, like, put your time in, and I think a lot of people aren't willing to do that. We'll see. We'll see where I fall on that spectrum.
How many, like, women, like, coaches are there at the school?
At the school?
Or, like, enough? Because I don't know, like, most sports. Like, I feel like they have, like...
Let's see, so...
Like, or female, like, head coaches.
So, I don't think any of the men's teams have female head coaches. And I think that's very uncommon mm-hmm. wherever you go. But... Let's see. Almost all of the women's teams have female head coaches. Let me just go through the list. Cross. Oh, and swimming. No, swimming mm-hmm. is one of them. Because swimming has a new head female coach. And then she coaches both the men and the women.
And soccer, too. Right?
No.
A guy?
Soccer's a dude.
Oh.
But, so I'm just saying that there's one female coach who's the head of a men's team. But yeah, I would say here, and then we have obviously a new female athletic director, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think she's working hard to, I don't know, build athletics up and improve, like, our status in D3. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool.
What would you say, like, some of the prominent female athletes in your lives are? Like, it could be here or, like,
professional
world.
I think my teammates have been big. Or, like, when I was an athlete here, I think my teammates were big influences on me. And then, like, in terms of role models... Like, I played soccer growing mm-hmm. up, and I loved Mia Hamm, and she was, like, a huge advocate for women in sports. I had a professor who taught women's empowerment in sports, and she taught me a lot about kind of, I don't know, women's rights and how it relates to being in athletics and sports in general.
Was that Professor Rainey?
Nardi. Oh, and then also, or Narte, I think. And then, that's how you say it.
Oh.
And then, Rainey for sure.
Yeah.
She's awesome. And she's always been, like, a very consistent, support and resource for the team, which I think is super, super important, especially mm-hmm. for women in distance running. Because, like, men too, but I think there's this interesting dynamic of, like, what the stereotype is for being a distance runner, like, stereotypical body, and I think that hopefully that'll change soon, because it's, you walk a fine line. Like, I have the stereotypical body for a distance runner, but I think if people, like, think too much about that, then it can ultimately hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just kind of, like, seeing... I hate to say it, but, like, social media and, like, big runners mm-hmm. in that way are, I think, influential for sure. Just because... Mm-hmm. you're able to see kind of, like, what they do every day and what their thoughts are on different things mm-hmm. and just kind of, like, how they think and prepare and train and all of that. I think they've been, or, like, I don't know, the professional runners, female runners of the world have been influential as well.
That's definitely true.
And I think that they, like, are big advocates for women, which is really amazing.
Uh-huh.
Like, Kara Goucher, I don't know, a lot of women, I think, have, like, used their influence and clout in the running world to kind of advocate for everyone else who That's falls true. Into that category, which is awesome, super awesome. Yeah.
Is there anything that you learned in, like, the women's empowerment and sports class that's, like, that you've applied to, like, being a coach in cross country or, like, yourself as an athlete?
I think just kind of, like, being aware of myself in the position I am, like, whether it was, like, as a captain on a team, mm-hmm. or, like, in the position I am now, and just kind of, like, making sure that I value myself the way I know I should, and then also helping, like, you guys on the team, or you girls, you girls on the team, to kind of, like, see and believe in yourselves. Not that you don't at all, but just kind of, like, helping to maximize and encourage that mm-hmm. as much as I can. Because I think that that's one place where I can help, and the male head coaches or coaches can't as much. Just because you can relate to me and my experiences better than you can to them.
That's true. How do you think, like, the mentality and, like, the sportsmanship is, like, different on, like, for a female or a male athlete? Like, if you're thinking of, like
on our team, for example?
Yeah.
I think
just, like, in general, because I feel like that's also super interesting.
I think,
like,
it's very interesting, yeah, to,
like,
see
the
that.
Way that, like, encouragement and, like, bonding goes together.
I think it's super interesting to, like, see the different dynamics. Mm-hmm. Because they're pretty distinct.
Yeah, I would not really notice, because I don't really, like, pay attention that much.
I think men have, and boys have, a natural inclination to kind of compete with each other more, mm-hmm. Which, like, fosters, I think, most of the time, like, positive competition and, like, wanting to improve, and, like, a healthy team culture of, like, being, like, wanting to be the best you can be. And I think women tend to not do that as much. Like, I think I honestly think that this season it served the women to have that more, like, collective, unified mentality mm-hmm. rather than, like, competitive. Mm-hmm. I think it served the women more than it has the men. Because nice. I think, like, the girls on the team know that everyone is rooting for them mm-hmm. and, like, rooting for each other and wanting to do, like, as best as they can for everyone else. And I think it's made everyone really excited to, like, do well and run PRs mm-hmm. and... I think the men have struggled a little with that, if that makes sense. Like, I think that they get, like, worried that they're not doing something right if someone's beating them, whereas, like, someone could just be having, like, a really great day, mm-hmm. and that's not true for the women, I don't think. I don't think there's this, like, idea of, like, how everyone should be placing, and just, like, everyone's kind of giving it all they have, which I've, mm-hmm. like, that's the first time I think I've seen that.
Like, in all of your years?
In all of my years,
like, five, 6 years.
Running at Oxy. Because, like, when I got to Oxy, the team was tiny. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there wasn't really as much of a collective mentality. We weren't working all together as much, I think, as towards the end. Mm-hmm. But now, I just feel like all of the girls on the team are, like, genuinely really excited for each other when mm-hmm. they can do well and run fast and... that's, like, the first time I've seen this happen, which makes me super happy.
Yeah, yeah. That does make me super happy. It's definitely, like, a different, like, feeling, mm-hmm. like, each year. I feel like when my freshman and sophomore year, the team felt, like, kind of...
divided in a way,
divided,
right?
Or, like, I don't know, like, individual. Mm-hmm. And now it's just more of, like, a collective kind of, which makes it, like, so much better, like, positive.
Yeah, yeah. More fun, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and, I mean, that's why everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Realistically, mm-hmm. like, if you think about it, like, why would you not do it if it wasn't fun? And I think some people struggle with that, too.
Like, yeah.
Like, I just do this because it's what I do, and not, like, because I love it.
Yeah.
But I think in this situation where you have, like, a team that's really supportive of each other and, like, excited and genuine, I think that it's much easier to see, like, why it's fun and mm-hmm. why you do it. So, I guess that's the main difference I see, generally speaking,
yeah.
with the guys and the girls teams that experienced and coached, I guess.
The way that you, like, support, like, women versus men and, like, encouragement, like, I don't know if you, like, would watch, like, Rob encourage, like, women and men. Is it, like, different?
Yeah.
Or, like, the way that you perceive it?
I think it's a little different. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it is because I'm closer with the girls, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's because I spend more time with
you. Yeah, that's also
you.
True, yeah.
And then, Sometimes I see with Rob, I don't know if this should be off the record, but sometimes I see that he's, like, a little more hesitant to be
direct,
yeah. And kind of, like, yeah, tell the girls exactly how he feels about, especially if it's negative. I don't think, like, that's ultimately true and affects things, but I think he is more tentative about yelling at the women. But at the same time, I mean, if you think about this year, he has much less reason to yell at the women than the men. So yeah. I think it just depends on the year.
Yeah, and also, like, it's probably, like, not Rob in general. It's just, like, the thing where, like, women, he might just think, like, women are, like, a little, like, more sensitive.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
like,
I think
yeah.
that's, like, I think you do need to treat that, like, each team differently. Mm-hmm. But that it's not because of, like, the gender of it. I think it just depends on the year, like, the dynamic, the general dynamic of the team, the personalities. Like, you can't treat each year's team differently than you can, like, past year and the next year. It's just changes. It's, like, always changing.
Yeah, it is. And I think, like, you wouldn't realize that until you, like, would correct. Like, I don't really think
until, like, I've seen, I don't know, how many teams now, like, six teams. Like, I think, like, I've come to see that more. Yeah. And I think some people do respond differently. Or people do respond differently to, like, criticisms and, I don't know, achievements and stuff like that. So you have to definitely treat each individual differently based on how they kind of, like, react to things and how they best take feedback and, like, whether it be positive or negative. Just have to play into that and kind of, like, read the room.
Like, as a, like, you said that you defined yourself, like, as a feminist.
Yes.
How do you see that culminating in, like, working with women on a team and, like, encouraging women and, like, but also being, like, with a men's team constantly. Like, we don't have our own space.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think me focusing my energy more on the women is kind of how I show and, like, hope to, like, not change, but, like, help foster, like, this idea of, like, self-worth and value and just kind of, like, making sure to connect with everyone on an individual level. I think that I'm definitely able to do that, kind of, like, talk to people and help them see that they are, like, doing really well and, like, ready for a big PR or just to kind of, like, valuing themselves in their everyday life outside of running. I think I could do it on a, like, a collective level a little better, just, like, talking to the girls' team more as a big group and maybe speaking my mind about how I perceive workouts or races. I think I could do a better job at that. I think just being a stronger person in a situation where there are three male coaches and then me.
Yeah.
And then a whole boys team and a whole girls team. Just being a stronger having a stronger presence and, I don't know, on both sides. I can do a better job with the boys, but I just love you girls so much.
In your experience, like, just at Oxy or, like, even, like, in life in general, have you ever, like, experienced, like, a frustrating moment of, like male dominance? Like, do you have, like, any significant, like, you'd be at school or on the team where you were just, like, so, like, fed up and felt like just, like, women needed to, like, intervene?
Yeah. I think when, I don't know how politically, good this is to say, but just okay. Like when
I don't like, but no one listens to the interview. I'm just writing her back.
No, I just mean, like, remember when that whole thing, were you here for when Jamie was the AD? Like the beginning of when she was, like, beginning of the end, essentially. Did you ever meet her?
I've never met her because it was like the fall of my freshman year.
I was super frustrated with that whole situation. Mm-hmm. I like felt like it was really unfair. Because, I mean, football was given priority over her. And I understood that it was like a political situation where we have alums who are big donors and stuff like that. But I just felt like, but in a way, like because they were men and they were so persistent in getting their way and mean and like bullying her. That's kind of like why it happened. And I was confused. I mean, I wasn't confused, but I was like shocked kind of with how poorly the situation was handled.
That's true.
And I mean, I think it could have been handled a lot better. And I don't know. I was really pissed off about the whole thing.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable. It seemed like a very, just like the entire dynamic with the football team against one woman.
Right.
Is just.
And just the way, in general, I've seen them act like with this super grandiose sense of entitlement. I'm like, oh, interesting. Like, I wonder what fuels that. It's not like they are, I don't know where they get it from,
because that makes sense.
Because it's not like they have success as a team. I mean, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, I mean, for the most part, I was, like, super happy with my experience at Oxy and how I was treated. But there were definitely moments where I was like, some people don't get it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Some people don't get it. Some people don't understand their privilege. Which, like, I recognize I have a lot of privilege, too. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, I think there are plenty of examples at Oxy with where men have power over women because of how society has, like, socialized us to believe that. Because I think in some ways it's, like, this idea that's, like, conditioned into our brains at a very young age. Doesn't matter. Like, not by your parents or the people, like, immediately around you, but just society in general, I think. It's only starting to view men and women
more equally
than ever before. And, I mean, I think it's because women aren't taking no for an answer, even though we have a lot of work to do. Yeah, but wherever you go, you're going to see lots of examples of inequality.
Yeah, that's true. Do you see, like, like, when you think of, like, feminists, do you think of, like, more just, like, women in general, or do you think of, like women of color feminists, or, like, any other branches that really, like, stand out to you?
I think I think of more women in general. Because I think there are so many examples of different kinds of women being feminists. Yeah. I don't think I think of any specific population.
Like, or like one branch that really resonates with you.
No, I think the power in it is that anyone, anyone can be a feminist. That's that any woman can be a feminist, and that's, like, the point where everyone can kind of find common ground, or every woman can find common ground, and support each other that way. And I think, I mean, it can be hard to, like, support all the women around you, but I think ultimately it's important to remember that everyone's trying their best.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any question that you want to pick out?
Let's see. I don't know, is there anything specifically you would like to ask else?
How do you see, like, what you've learned, like, at Oxy, just about, like, because you've taken probably, like, women's, or, like, women-centered courses, or, like, courses that have talked about women.
Yeah.
Like, how do you see that, like, kind of, like, transforming, like, your experience and, like, how you think today and, like, the actions?
Yeah, I think just, like, making sure to stop and, like, remember that, I don't know, just trying to, like, constantly build my confidence and the women, the confidence of the women around me, I think is, like, the way I have, or just trying to support all the women in my life, I think is the way that I've, like, realized that. And, like, it's never gonna, it's like an ongoing process that's never gonna end.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think, like, the way I view confidence and self-worth is gonna evolve throughout my life, just based on what stage I'm in. I think my job that I had this past year has also kind of, like, changed my view of, like, myself as a woman and the women around me, just because I was working with young moms in foster care and seeing, like, how strong those women are, and they're younger than me and they have kids. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
humbling.
Yeah,
for sure.
Were they, like, local women in LA?
Yeah, in LA. All young moms in foster care who are, like, aging out of the system soon. Yeah, I think it was a powerful experience, which was contrasted largely by the leadership at the organization, because not good at supporting women and just people in general, I think, which is interesting. It was, like, such a distinct irony that I was, like, thinking about constantly every day, like, while I was there. It's like, wow, I cannot believe that we can do this work to, like, empower women in foster care with kids, and then also just internally be so unsupportive and, like, mean-spirited and, and it's not, like, I don't think it's, like, geared specifically towards women, although the female CEO is surprisingly incredible at tearing other women down.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is shitty. Terrible.
Yeah.
Made me so mad.
That's...
Like... But I'm gonna write a letter, Kayla. This is a way in which I'm gonna take.
You're writing a letter back to the.
I'm writing
company?
A letter to the board.
Oh.
Talking about my experience there and my experience with her, and my boss. I mean, I had an amazing boss there. She was such a good mentor. But, like, ultimately, the higher up boss is the one who, like, can make the difference.
And yeah.
Make it or break it.
Because.
I mean, if you don't have her support, then what are you going to do?
So it was was the CEO a terrible...
Yeah, the CEO.
And then
I had a boss who was a director.
Oh, okay.
And she was great. But yes, I'm, hopefully that'll help.
Yeah.
The future women at my organization. I mean, I cannot believe it. Like, she would make these crazy comments about people that are, like, my boss and my coworker who are pregnant, mm-hmm. and just being like, I only took 3 weeks of maternity leave. Like, saying that it's a guilt tripping them to taking less time off. And it's like, wow.
That's, yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Or just, like, alluding to the fact that my boss didn't have a place at the organization when she came back from maternity leave. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is that what you think is the right way to handle the situation?
Yeah.
So, it's not okay. And I'm not going to let it slide.
No, I think the letter is a great idea.
And I think that my boss will write one too, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what can all come of it, but, like, honestly, all you can do is, like, try your hardest, mm-hmm. and support where you see, mm-hmm. need supporting.
Yeah.
Just, like, boosting up around you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I thought of another question.
Okay.
When you were abroad, mm-hmm. like, how did you see the differences in, like, a woman's status compared to here? Like, what were the different types of roles? And or if there was, like, a difference?
Yeah. That's a good question.
You should say where you went.
I was in Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. And I think the men there are, there's kind of, like, a bit of machismo there. Our men have this, like, they walk around with a certain sense of entitlement. Like, I got catcalled a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think I would never felt in danger or anything, but I think they are, I think the women there are honestly, like, incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, there's I had a host mom, and she was a single mom and had a kid. And just in general, after the dictatorship in Argentina, or during the dictatorship, there were a lot of these, they're called disappearances, where the government would, like, kidnap people, mm-hmm. and bring them to these, like, secret prisons and, like, torture them there. A lot of people died. But there was this group called the Madres de la Plaza de Mayo, and they would march at this big square called the Plaza de Mayo every Thursday, mm. in protest of their children being kidnapped. And they still go every week, which is amazing. So I think everyone in Argentina has a bit of a stronger personality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like a more, everyone kind of speaks their mind more than they do here.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, so that comes with, like, women speaking their mind more, but also men speaking their mind more. So it's just different. But it was cool to see, I don't know, how their society works versus ours.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit less about the bullshit, I would say.
Like,
what type of, just kind of like the,
like, political?
Yeah, they're not politically correct or anything, and they say whatever they want, no filter, kind of, and then, mm-hmm. like, there's no tiptoeing there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there shouldn't be, but it's just different.
That's true, yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's just, yeah, they're not, like, polite at restaurants. I don't know. It's just kind of, like, different.
Yeah.
It's a different way of living.
How is, like, the, well, I guess, like, the household, like, a woman's place in the home?
Different? See, I wouldn't know, honestly, because it was just a single mom and daughter,
mm-hmm.
and that was my host family. So my host mom was, like, pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She worked, like, full-time and then also took care of her daughter, and they're both very independent. But I'm not really sure what the dynamic is like between men and women in the house there. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
I don't know.
But, I mean, from what I saw, it's just kind of similar in the sense that, like, you work.
Yeah.
Go to school.
That's interesting when you said about, like, tiptoeing, like, around issues, because then I was
thinking. I think they just kind of say what they're thinking. Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Like, if we tiptoe around issues, it just come out as, like, one big, like, issue at the end, rather than just, like,
saying what you think.
Yeah, saying what you think.
Yeah, and that's, like, true for, like, a small, for, on, like, a small scale, like, yeah. I don't know, maybe in a dynamic, like, the team or something yeah. like that, but then there's also, like, larger social issues that, where that could happen, and, I don't know, ignore women for how many years, and then the Me Too movement comes out,
yeah.
which is awesome. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah.
To, like, because I think it really, honestly, has changed.
Like, made a huge impact.
It's made a huge impact, so, I mean, I think that's one way of going about it.
Yeah.
But also, like, if everyone was a little more, myself included, like, a little more outspoken about issues they see every day, then maybe things would also be different.
Mm-hmm. No,
like, I'm working on it.
Yeah. No, I definitely, like, realize that there's definitely things that I don't
I totally agree.
It's just, like, the time and place.
Right. And it's hard. I mean, you know, like, I'm very non-confrontational.
I'm very,
But I wish I weren't sometimes. Like, I wish I were more just, like, able to just say what I'm thinking in the moment. It doesn't have to, like, be to another woman.
To anyone. Yeah.
I just don't like conflict.
Yeah, no, that's definitely
But good. I'm trying to teach myself not to avoid it.
Avoid conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's, like, the best way to fix a situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I think, like, in the example of, like, the cross-country team running together and where it was, like, I think that was a good...
I know, because nobody wanted to...
Because no one wanted
to say, like, something... Or say, like, what they were actually thinking about it. And so, I don't know.
That's interesting.
Perhaps we still need to talk about it. But, yeah, I mean, I think it can be, I think some in that situation, like, it can be really good to, like, I don't know. I think maybe it's just, like, a lot of miscommunication, you know, in that situation.
Yeah.
And that's probably true for a lot of situations, like, where people aren't saying what they think or what they want.
Yeah,
and then,
which is, like, different than, like, guys, I
think.
Oh,
yeah.
I think it's
super
harder
different.
For women to, like,
So that's another,
say,
like, the competition, like, and the dynamics that I see in between both teams, I think, in that way, for sure. Because the guys will just fight about it for, like...
But then,
10
like,
minutes,
not
and then
be
it's
hurt.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Just, like, bicker.
Yeah.
We don't do that as much. We could try.
We could try.
I don't take things personally. I try not to.
Yeah.
I had to learn that at work this whole year.
Really?
Like, ah, you hate me. That's fine.
Oh, that must have been really frustrating.
Oh my god, it was so ridiculous. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it. Let me see. Oh, I guess this. Are you religious or spiritual?
No.
Do you participate in any cultural, like, ethical practices?
I mean, I think I'm still building a personal spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't really know what that is yet or what that's going to entail. But I'm not religious. I don't follow a specific religion. I wasn't raised that way. It's just raised to... figure out my
Was your mom, like you said, your mom was a firecracker. How did she like shape how you are today?
Oh, well, she knows how to get what she wants. And she does not take no for an answer, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I could be more like that. You want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
My parents leased a car a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to buy it. But there were a few problems with it. Like the water pump went out at 20,000 miles, and it's not just supposed to, like, even start having issues until 100,000, uh-huh. and then the seat wouldn't move forward because it was, like, a two-door car,
mm-hmm.
and so she was like, this car is a lemon, and so she, like, called the dealership and was like, hey, listen, like, this car, it's not cutting it for me, like, I want a new car. And so I think she kept on leaving voicemails for them, and finally they called her back one day, and it's like, Ms. Oyama?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yes, who's this? Blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, can I just, like, start this conversation off by saying I'm scared? Literally. I kid you not. And then, then they, like, talk for a while, and she's like, can I ask you a question? What's your occupation? What do you do for a living? She's like, I'm an artist manager. I know how to get what I want.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I think he, like, thought she was a lawyer or something. But she just very, I don't know, she's like, she's so kind, but also so effective at,
really,
like, building that's relationships.
That's such a good, like, quality to have.
Yeah, though. She just, I don't know, she's not afraid to, like, say something if it's not up to what she, like, her standards or whatever. So, I think, I don't know, seeing that growing up has shaped who I hope to become. Because I think that I am more like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bit softer.
Yeah.
He's like likes to avoid conflict like me. Which is interesting, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting
that my mom is the outspoken one, and he's less so. But I want to be more like her when I grow up.
Aww.
No, she's awesome. She's really good at navigating social situations and work situations, just kind of in general. She's good at being strong but not, like, abrasive or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. I think it's definitely helped shape who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Gained a lot of my social skills from her and my dad.
If you don't mind me asking, but what is the significance of your tattoo?
So this is something I've been doing my whole life. My mom taught me how to make paper cranes when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
We would make them and put them on our Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I always, and then, like, after that, I just would always, like, make them out of scrap paper.
Yeah.
And then when I was abroad, I had just gotten my tonsils out that winter, and then I went abroad. And after the surgery, I had some complications, and I lost my taste for a month, and it was terrible. But it came back kind of, like, bad in my mouth. Like, I just had a bit of a bitter taste, so I was chewing gum constantly.
Yeah.
And I chewed, like, 40 packs of gum. It was, like, something super ridiculous.
A day?
No, not a day. Oh, but, like,
in general?
I think in that span of however many months, like, I just chewed so much gum. And I kept all the wrappers. And then I made them into little strands of paper cranes.
Oh,
and
my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was really fun. I did it while I was abroad, and then I, like, found a little store with cute wooden beads and string, and then I strung them all together and, like, made them for everyone that I knew, so.
That's so wholesome.
And it was wholesome. But I just love doing it. And it's, like, a good symbol of prosperity and family and good luck. That's what it means.
Oh, that's
cute. Ode to my Japanese side.
Did you design, like, did you draw that yourself?
I didn't draw it, but I worked with the artist to design it. We just kind of, I don't know, I told her kind of an idea of what I wanted, and then we, like, changed it a little before I got it. But I really like it.
I really like it, too. What are, like, the little spikes in the...
So this is, like, the rising sun.
Oh.
Like, that's where the...
Yeah.
That's where the inspiration comes from. Oh, okay. It doesn't really look like the rising sun, but I like it.
I like it.
It's just a embellishment I thought would be cool.
Yeah. Do you have any other, like, tattoos?
No, this is my first one.
Okay.
I probably will get more. I like tattoos. I think they're really awesome. Ooh, I got it done by a woman who works at an all-female-owned shop.
At a tattoo parlor?
Yeah.
Whoa.
She's really cool.
It is in Pasadena?
In Koreatown.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's cool. They're all very badass. And
do you live in Koreatown now?
I live in Highland Park still.
Oh.
But I worked in Koreatown.
Yeah.
For the whole year. And no more.
No more.
That was also another way in which I was practicing not feminism per se, but just kind of, like, learning to do things that make me happy and are meaningful to me. Like, my job was meaningful sometimes, but also it was hard, and I didn't feel valued a lot of the time. So just quitting is a big step.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of financially silly, but... It was just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
That was frustrating.
For me to, I don't know, handle now.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to just kind of take a little break.
Uh-huh.
Probably find another job at some point. But one that I enjoy.
Yeah.
I can do this more than just
mm-hmm.
in the evenings and at practice. I can contribute a little more to the general team and what goes into making it happen, making it successful.
As an assistant coach.
Because I want to, like, be more present.
Yeah.
I want to be more present and give more to the team. Put my ideas into training and, you know.
I think that's what we need. And it's super helpful, like, especially, like, just having, like, you and Mel there makes, I think, like, such a difference. I think we did not have you. Like, I can't imagine, like, were you ever on the team when there was no...
It was, like, a transitional period when one of the assistants quit. She was an Oxy alum, too. And then we were hiring a new female coach, but that female coach wasn't, like, super present. She didn't really contribute that much. And I get it. I mean, like, it's not an easy place to be. Like, if you don't already understand... Like, maybe you haven't even been a part of the program. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't go to Oxy. She was just a lady who, like, liked running and ran in college but was, like, from the East Coast.
That's strange.
It was just, like, it didn't really fit.
Yeah.
She didn't understand, kind of, the way we train.
Yeah.
And then that's when Mel came in. Which I think, yeah, great.
That was nice. Yeah.
Really good.
But I'm into Joan. Who's Joan?
I'm both of us now.
Really?
Kind of.
Did he just drop?
No, well, so he was originally supposed to have, like, we were supposed to have equal hours.
Yeah.
Here's an exercise in advocating for myself. Yeah. But then he got a job, like, immediately as season started. And so...
What was his...
He teaches on the west side, which is... I understand why he's not here. You know, because, like... The west side is almost impossible to get here from there after work. So I think, like, it was just kind of, like, he wasn't able to contribute very much time. And he wasn't expecting to get this job. But at the same time, like, not being here means that we're down a person.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, Rob, one, are there more hours for me to pick up? And two, what would you think about me taking all of the hours and becoming more full-time if I were to quit my job.
Yeah.
And he was like, sounds pretty good. I mean, I think like, with both of us, it's hard because we're both alums, so he obviously, like...
Oh.
But there's, like, some kind of personal relationship as well.
Yeah.
So being like, sorry, John, you only get, like, 10 hours now. Yeah. Isn't easy. But I think John was also... I talked to John about it, too, and before that, and I was like, hey, so, like, mm-hmm. if you can't...
Be here.
Be here, like, I'll take your hours.
Yeah.
And he was like, I can't be here.
Yeah.
Please take my hours. Oh.
Is he coming to SkyX tomorrow?
I don't know. I never know. Wait, I haven't seen him in, like, 2 months or something.
Wait, did he go to the Riverside meet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that was, like, his one final gift. I mean, I get it. He can't really be here, but also, he's not here, so... Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.